appreciate the way that you have responded to all of the circumstances that we're in. And we've talked many times about what a great group of people that we serve. And so we're so thankful for that. Thank you for being who you are. I want to encourage you to take your Bibles out this morning and follow along with us. I'm going to put some of the words of some of these passages on the screen, but there'll be others that won't be on the screen. So if you will, take your Bibles out and follow along with us. You know, those Allstate commercials, we see those fairly regularly. Those are commercials that kind of stick in our minds. They've got a catchy slogan, and usually in those commercials, what happens is there's a lot of chaos going on. There's a lot of mayhem going on. And in those commercials, you see something along the line of this, where you've got the announcer or whoever it is that's the speaker is calm amidst all that is going on, amidst all of those storms, and the cars are crashing and the storms are howling. And yet there is this calming voice that says, you're in good hands with Allstate. And, you know, we're familiar with those commercials. Everything is going to be okay. And so what they're saying is, you know, you can depend on us, and we're there for you. And in times of trouble, that certainly is a great blessing to know that there are people, an organization or people that are on our sides. And I couldn't help but think this week that in terms of spiritually, in terms of the deeper things, that what a blessing it is to have people and organization, the church, that's on our side, and what a comfort that is to us. So, you know, recognizing that, but still we understand that people have the same weaknesses that we do. And there are things that we put our confidence in, just like the government and money, family, even ourselves. You know, we put confidence in those things, but we understand that is not ultimately dependable. That's not absolute. And I was reminded this week of the fact that sometimes we're just in the wrong hands, and we really can't depend. You know, I think when the world is turned upside down, the only thing that some people can read is the little small print. We were trying to get some money back for a vacation, and it seemed like that was all that they were concerned about. You know, we've got your back until we don't. And so, you know, sometimes we're not in the right hands. But when we come to Psalm 146 that Dan read for us, Psalm 146 is a great expression of praise. And one of the things you might notice if you look at Psalm 146 through the end of the book of Psalms, Psalm 146 to 150, is that all of those begin in the same way. And these are known as hallelujah psalms. And they're all songs of praise, psalms of praise to God. And they're all beginning with that idea of praise the Lord. And so that's how David begins. It probably is David that wrote this psalm, that he praises the Lord. And what he says there as we look at that is, as long as there's breath in me and as long as I have life, that is exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to praise God. And I think the attitude that all of us have in coming together this morning, I hope, is that we have that same kind of attitude. We have that same kind of love for the Lord. And specifically, he says here in verse 2 that I will sing praises. And I don't know about you, but that is going to be something when we do come back together, that is going to mean just that much more, I think, than it did before. Just to be able to do that together is such a blessing, and I miss that a lot, and I imagine you do too. But David makes a statement here, and what he says is that I am not going to put my confidence in men. And he encourages us not to do that as well. He says, do not put your trust in princes nor in a son of man. And of course, he was the great prince of Israel, and he's telling them not to put your confidence in physical leaders. That's not the place to put your faith and your confidence. And there is no salvation there. As you go down through the rest of Psalm 146, he makes that very clear that man cannot save. And he says in verse 4 that his plans come to an end. And the Lord God, in contrast, is a blessing, verse 5, to those who put their hope in him. And in verse 6, notice what he says in verse 6, that he made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps truth forever. And only he can do that. And only he can keep faith, one version says, forever. So I want for us to just kind of think about for a few minutes where we put our trust and in what do we trust. Look over at Psalm 118 and verses 5 through 9. Psalm 118 and verses 5 through 9. Where do you put your trust this morning? In what do you trust? And this is a great passage that we have here, and a comforting passage. And in particular, I want for us to focus here on verses 5 through 9 in Psalm 118. He says, I called on the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a broad place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is for me among those who help me. Therefore, I shall see my desire on those who hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. So again, he basically says the same thing that he had said before of where do we put our confidence. And I know right now for me that there's no one that I would rather have on my side right now than the Lord God. I need him now more than ever. I think we all in times like this are reminded of who we need on our side, and that is the Lord. And with that, we don't have to fear. And he says there in verse 5, I think it's a figurative statement. I don't think that the Lord just snatched him out when he said that of where he was. But from a emotional standpoint, from a mental standpoint, that even in that point of distress that he was in, that God would release him from all of that. And we think of passages in the New Testament that kind of talk about that a little bit. Romans 8:31, if God is for us, who can be against us? Hebrews 13:6, so we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? Isaiah 51 and verse 12, God says, I am he who comforts you. Who are you that you should be afraid of a man who will die and of the Son of Man who will be made like grass? So some years ago, I don't remember how long it's been, we traveled to Arizona. And I remember one of the things that jumped out to me when we were there was there were tons of these tumbleweeds that were just all over the place, and they were in our way, and they were kind of mounting up on the side of the road. There were so many of them, and maybe you've been there in that area of the country. But it reminded me a little bit of what Jeremiah 17 and verses 5 through 7 talk about. And, you know, we don't have to be like that tumbleweed. We don't have to be kind of tossed about. And we know what Ephesians 4 and verse 14 talks about, that we no longer are children that are tossed about by every wind of doctrine. That's not who we are. We're not like that. We have a strength in the Lord that is able to sustain us. And this is what he says there in Jeremiah 17. And I'm going to turn over there because I also want to read verse 8. But Jeremiah 17 and verse 5, he says, "Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert, and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not inhabited. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and whose hope is the Lord. For he shall be like a tree which spreads, or planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit." And so we need to be reminded of that. We're not like that that tumbleweed that's just thrown around. We have roots that reach down to an inexhaustible source of life, and all is well, and we continue to bear fruit. Even in that time, we're continuing to bear fruit. We're continuing to have access to that source of life and to grow, and that's a blessing for us to sustain us. And you know, there are things that I don't know about you, but during this time, kind of shock us back, bring us back to our core, and help us to be reminded of, you know, what really is important and what reality is. You know, why am I here? What is all of this about? And we need that from time to time. And so regardless, I think this is, you know, ultimately the work of the wicked one is why all pain exists, but the Lord can work in those things and help us to have some realizations that we need. And, you know, we can make the mistake of being, you know, putting our confidence in possessions, of being possessed by possessions and thinking that we have security. And that's just a tumbleweed, and it's not sustaining for us. And we're reminded that if we possess our souls, that's what's important. So I want to encourage us this morning. You know, we talked recently in a class that Dave Posey gave, and those classes have been so encouraging, Dave's and Darren's and other men that have given those classes. But he recently talked about worry, and you know, how many of us worry? How many of us have a problem with that? And ultimately, when we do worry, we forget about whose hands that we're in, the sovereign hands of God, and we forget who sustains us. And when we are in good hands, in the best of hands, in the right hands, in God's hands, we know that we don't have to worry. And so that's such a blessing for us right now. You know, we pace around, we struggle with things, and we get consumed, and we can't sleep, and we count sheep in those times. And somebody made the statement that why count sheep when you can talk to the shepherd? And I like that statement because that's the answer for us. Why do we have to be eaten up with all of this when we can bring it to the Lord and we can put it in his hands and let him take care of it for us? I can do nothing when it comes to a lot of this, but he can do everything. And that's a comfort to us. We look at Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25 and following. If you look over there, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25 and following, there's this statement, and this is not a suggestion, folks. It's a command for us, and we need to recognize it as that this is something that the Lord would have us to do, and that's something that we need to be, you know, cognizant of, is that this isn't a worry that we have. And it's so comforting in times like we're in now to not have to do that and to not be like everybody else in those terms. And so he says there in verse 25, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life. And he goes on to talk about elements of that, of what you eat and drink and what you put on in your clothes. And he says, is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? And he talks about the great value that we have, that God loves us so much more than the creation, but he cares for that creation and he provides for them, the birds of the air, he feeds them. He says, are you not of more value than they? And so he makes that point, but notice in verse 25, this is an addition to what he's already said. He says, therefore, I say to you, and that I think is based on probably the immediate context in verse 24, which talks about his being a master over us. And if he's the master, then, you know, we as those that he provides for, we don't have to worry about that. And that is such a blessing for us to not have to do that. But then also it might have, in the greater context there in Matthew chapter 6, there are a number of times in verse 4 and verse 6 and also in verse 18 that he talks about the Father seeing in secret and rewarding us openly. The Lord sees and he knows and he sees in secret. We can't, you know, by the senses understand that, but he's seeing all of what's going on. And so he talks about in back in Matthew 6 and verse 30 that we need to have a great faith. We need to understand that all means all, and God sees everything. He knows all of what we need. He talks about, he uses, you know, that word all in verse 32 and verse 33, all these things shall be added to you. He knows all of what we need. And that's for us such a blessing as his people. 1 Peter 5 and verse 7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. So big, medium, little, whatever that is, bring it to the Lord and to understand that he's got that for us. Also look at Psalm chapter 3. Psalm 3 and verses 5 through 7. You know, I've had moments where I hadn't slept maybe as well as I normally do. And I imagine that there are some of us that may also have that problem in times like this. But, you know, when it comes to that kind of thing, we just need to, again, know whose hands that we're in and be reminded of that. And we need to always keep coming back to that. That when we lay our heads down at night, that we can talk to the shepherd. We don't have to count sheep. We can speak to the one who can do something about it. And verse 5 of Psalm chapter 3, David says here, I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God. So, you know, the Lord helped David to sleep when he was struggling with that and when there was danger on the outside. You know, a lot of times I think we can learn lessons from kids. I think about even going over to Jared's house from time to time and being with my little niece and nephew Thessaly and Ptolemy. And Thessaly will get up on the top rail of the stairs way up, and Jared will say, I've got you, and she'll just jump off there like a flying squirrel and just go on down, you know, from those heights without fear. Ptolemy's not there yet, he's still scared of step number one, but you know, just to have that kind of confidence and trust, and we need that. I remember Will when he was a little guy, I could push him on the swing and push him just as high as I possibly could push him. And he was okay with that because he knew who was pushing the swing. And as God's people, we know who's pushing the swing, folks. We know who's behind everything, and we can trust in that. So just another couple of things here. Look at Philippians chapter 4 for just a moment. The ladies in there in a recent class talked about this a little bit, and I appreciate, you know, all the women being involved in those classes and the encouragement that's been, I know, to each one. In Philippians 4 and verses 4 through 7, this idea of rejoicing, folks, we need to rejoice right now. We're commanded to rejoice and to, you know, it doesn't mean happiness. There's a difference between happiness and rejoicing. And we're commanded to rejoice. Happiness can sometimes be dependent on happenings. But when it comes to rejoicing, it can take place in spite of all of those happenings. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And so, you know, nothing means nothing. When he says, be anxious for nothing, that's what we ought to do. And to understand that we're in good hands with our God. And that's a joy that only the people of God have and understand. And I feel so sorry for people that don't have that and have that peace and have that comfort. What a tragedy that is, that, you know, that's the case. And so I'm reminded of Paul and Silas. You know, they weren't happy to be in a prison, in bondage, and blinded by darkness and bound up and beaten and all the things that were going on with them, but they were singing and they were rejoicing. They weren't happy to be there, but they were rejoicing, and they were not singing funeral songs. They were singing praise songs, I think, and hallelujah, praise Jehovah, and giving glory to him. So ultimately, everybody, we're in the Lord's hands, and I was thinking about that little song, be reminded of our kids, all you kids that sing this song in your classes, and to take a cue from our Bible class teachers this morning. The Lord, he's got the whole world in his hands, and the wind and the rain in his hands, the tiny little baby in his hands, you and me, brother, in his hands. He's got you and me, sister, in his hands. He's got everybody here in his hands, and he's got the whole world in his hands. And so what a comfort that is, and what a blessing that is for us to know we're in the best of hands in times like this. He's been so good to us, and he's loved us. He's given the hands of his son to be pierced for our sake, and he's shown us time and time again how much that he loves us. And so we look to that this morning. We're reminded of that this morning, and praise God and give him thanks for all of that. So as Darren mentioned in his sermon this past Sunday, there could be somebody that needs to obey the gospel and needs to be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. There may be somebody that's already done that, you know, hasn't lived as they should and done the things that they should, and need to make that right. And so we encourage you to do that, whatever you need. We can we can make that happen, and we can see to it that that gets done. And certainly, you know, we'll make arrangements for that. But God be with all of us and help us, and let's, you know, read the Psalms. The Psalms have been helpful to me. You might notice that that's been kind of a theme for me during this time as I talk about some of these Psalms. But get the book of Psalms out and read the book of Psalms during this time. So God be with all of us. So I'm going to turn it back over to Darren now. And so.
Thank you, Jeb. Appreciate those words very, very much. Dennis, Brother Dennis, if you don't mind, if you could lead us in a word of prayer. Hold on, let me turn your mic on. Okay, I think you're on, Dennis.
Okay, thank you. Our great and almighty Heavenly Father, our Creator, and the one that sustains all life, we are thankful for this avenue that you've given us of this video to be together, to worship, and that it's such a great blessing. And Father, during these unusual times, there's so many changes in all of our lives, but we pray, Father, to give us patience and perseverance. Help us to be content like Paul was. And Father, help us to prioritize our lives, that we may understand what's really important, and to put the spiritual things first, to put you, Father, first in our lives. And may we appreciate and love our families even more, Father. What a blessing it is to be with them. And may we cherish our spiritual brothers and sisters, and may we yearn to assemble together again, that we can love and hug each other as we did at one time. And Father, this would be such a great blessing when this happens. And Father, during this time of isolation, may it bring about more empathy for our shut-ins who experience so much isolation on a daily basis. Father, may we be more prayerful and help them, Father, more than we have. And most of all, Father, may our trust be in you, and our hope in our Lord Jesus, for we know, Father, you are in control, and it is we pray, Father, that through all this time that is happening worldwide with the virus, that it may bring about a spiritual awakening throughout the world, and that realize that lives are more important than material things, and souls, Father, we pray that there will be people who will repent, Father, understanding, Father, that you are in control and not them, Father, and we pray for this. Father, be with our elders, Terry and Jeb and Darren, as there are difficult decisions that they need to make, and help us to be supportive of them and give them wisdom. Father, may they make good decisions for us, for our spiritual lives, we're thankful for them, and we're thankful for our deacons, Father, who are working in our behalf. Strengthen and help them. And Father, we pray for the leaders of our country, our president, who has been having to make difficult decisions, Father, and help him give him wisdom and strength, and be with our governor, Governor Polis, as he also has to make difficult decisions and give these people the wisdom that they need, Father. And we pray that they will look to thee for their help, Father. Guide them and help them. And be with our doctors. Help them to find preventive medications and cures for this virus, and give strength to our those who are health workers and caregivers. Help them. They are so burdened with so many that are sick. Help them. And Father, we pray for Amy Wilson's mother, Cheryl Reams, Father, who has this virus, and be with her, comfort her, help the doctors that are attending to her, and give her her health, Father, and help Randy, protect him from the virus, and be with David and Amy's family, and we pray for their protection, Father. So be with all of us this week. Give us strength and protection, and this isolation be a spiritual refreshing for all of us, Father. And let us rejoice in our blessings, Father. It's so easy to look upon negative things, but let us look for the great blessings that we have, that you're still providing for us, and it's so wonderful, Father, and we can have this peace in our life, and we thank thee, Father, and we pray this prayer in our Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Dennis. Terry, I'll turn it over to you for some announcements, please.
Good morning, everyone. It's good to see everyone. And if you want to go ahead and start turning your cameras back on in preparation for our break here, that'd be great. I think I saw we had 80 people on this morning. That is just an amazing thing, you know, that all of us everyone in this church body wants to still be devoted to God and to worship Him in a time where it'd be so easy to put the cares of the world ahead of